Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zion. Mishnah Zion is coming off of the previous Mishnah, that we said that we can go as far as to say to put another 7 fasts on the Kahal, so that the rain should come, right? The total would be 13 fasts. So what happens now if Avru Elu, if these 7 fasts go by, and still Vlo Nanu, still we're not answered from the heavens and there's no rain, right? There's only so many fasts that the Bezin could put onto the Kahal. So what happens now? So then what they would do is like this. If they still didn't get rain after these 7 fasts, which was a total of 13 fasts, then b'matan, b'masan, b'matan, people have to start doing less business to show a sign of, you know, of seriousness and a sign of, you know, we've got to really do tshuva. B'binyan, u'benetia, you have to do less building and less planting. And they explain over here, this is referring to building of joy and planting of joy. Like if a person is building a house for his son who's going to be married, right? His son's getting married, he wants to build him a house. It's a house for joy. Or he's planting a tree to provide shade so that he could, you know, have pleasure underneath it and just enjoy himself and, you know, relax in his hammock under the tree. Those things he has to be memaya, it's a lesson. But if he's building a house for regular dwelling purposes or planting a tree for regular fruit, that would be totally permitted. That's not a problem. But regards to regular business and buildings and plants for joy, you have to start minimizing. Not only that, v'chem emati, you have to minimize be'erusin v'nesuin, with engagements, with marriages. Just have to minimize, you know, the amount of people that are getting engaged and the amount of people that are getting married. Ubish elo shalom ben alachavero, and greeting your friend with the word shalom. Kibidei adam hanazufin l'makom, like a person who's being rebuked from Hashem. It's a very, very serious thing. And we go as far as to say that we'll minimize the engagements and the weddings and saying shalom to your friend as if we're being rebuked from Hashem. Hayachidim, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmudic scholars, Chozim Umisanim, they will actually start fasting again, the Talmidei Chachamim, B'sheni u'b'chamishi, on the Mondays and Thursdays. Ad Shietzah Nisan. So everyone's going to stop, you know, is going to minimize business, minimize building and planting, minimize engagements and marriages and saying shalom to your friend, right? And then the Talmidei Chachamim, they're actually going to start fasting again, Mondays and Thursdays. Ad Shietzah Nisan, until the month of Nisan goes out. But no argument come up with Tanias or Rishonas, and they have the same custom as the previous fasts, that they could eat and drink during the night. And they're permitted during the day, you know, with work and bathing, etc. They just can't eat, right? And this is going on the Talmudic scholars. And you think about it, until Nisan leaves, we had started in Cheshvan. So it's Cheshvan, Kislev, Teve, Shvat, till the end of Nisan. That's 5 months. Can you imagine 5 months of no rain? So that's what they would do. And now what happens if Yatzah Nisan, if Nisan left, the month of Nisan's over, V'yarduk Shavim, and then it finally rained, okay? Meaning, it didn't rain in Nisan. Nisan went by, and then afterwards it finally rained. So are we going to dance with joy? No. Then Simon Klala, if it only started raining after Nisan already was over, it's a Simon Klala. It's a terrible sign. It's a bad sign. And explain over here why. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Halok Tzirchitim Hayom V'Gomer, meaning Shmuel Hanavi, Shmuel the prophet said that Halok Tzirchitim Hayom, he said to the Kal Yisrael, you know, today's the day of harvesting. Ekra El Hashem, I'm going to call out to Hashem. V'itun Kolo Samata, and Hashem will give thunder and rain. But Udu'u Ru'u, you should know and you should see, Ki Razcham Rabash Rasisim V'Eni Hashem L'Sholot L'Cham Melach. Basically, Klai Yisrael were asking for a king, and it wasn't a good time to be asking for a king. And Shmuel's rebuke was that, look, today's the day of harvest, okay? And I'll call out and ask Hashem for rain and for thunder, right? And you should know, and you should see, that even though it's going to rain, it's not a good sign, it's a bad sign. Because now you're harvesting. You need the rain when you plant, not when you harvest. When you harvest, last thing you need is rain. So if it rains during the harvest season, it's a bad sign. So that's what they're saying over here. If it rains after Nisan, it's a bad sign. And therefore, you know, we don't want it to be raining after Nisan, we want it to be raining before. But if that's what happens, it would be a bad sign. And that's what they're pointing out over here in the Mishnah. And it's simply symbolizing the anger that Hashem has for us. So that wraps up Mishnah Zayin and Perek Aleph. And hopefully, you know, these things shall never happen. But this was the order. This is what they would do in those days, in times of the Beis Hamikdash. And now, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, we're going to continue now with this theme. Here we go. Perek Beis, new Perek, Mishnah Aleph. Seder Ta'anios. What was the order of the seven fasts? We're focusing on the last seven fasts that they would do. Meaning, what else was going on? We're going to explain it right now. Ketzad, what would they do? So, Motzien Esateva. Just to keep in mind, they're already at the level of their fasting seven fasts. It's very, very, you know, they're at a very unfortunate, you know, time now. So what they would do is Motzien Esateva. They would take the Aron Kodesh, the Ark, along with the Sefer Torah inside of it, out of the shul, and they would bring it Lerechova, to the public, to the street. The Lerechova shall ear, open in the public. And the Gemara explains, why do we bring it out to the public? The whole Aron Kodesh, right? The whole Ark? It's coming to tell us, learn way to say, that we were crying in Sinah, we were crying in our shuls, right? And we weren't answered. So now, Nivza Asmini Beferhesi, now we're going to be scorned and embarrassed, you know, in the public, and be humbled in the public, because we have to pray now in the public. And why do we bring out the entire Teva, the entire Ark? To say that this is a Kli Tzenua, it's a utensil, it's a box, it's an Ark, that's a more modest box, it's inside a shul. But now it's out in the open, and it's being scorned by Avonim because of our sins. V'nost an Efer Makle, and they would put Efer Makle, meaning burnt ashes, Agabe Teva, on top of the Ark. As the Pasuk says, B'chol Tzarasim Lo Tzar, and all of their pain, there's pain to me, meaning Hashem's in pain also. So our pain is Hashem's pain. B'chol Tzarasim Lo Tzar, they put ashes on top of the Ark. U'b'rosh Nasi, Rosh Av Bezdin. They would put ashes on the Nasi, on the head of the Nasi, the head of the leader, and the head of the one that would lead the Bezdin, the Av Bezdin. And they bring down over here that it would be an individual was appointed from the nation to take these ashes and put it on the head of the Nasi and the head of the leader of the Beis Din, right? Where would they put it on the head? In the area where their tefillin would normally go. And the reason why they had somebody put it on them, and after they put it on themselves, is to show the busha, the embarrassment. It's even more embarrassment, right? Because if they put it on themselves, okay, it's embarrassing to do that. But if someone else has to put the ashes on your head, it's even more embarrassing. Because of their chashivusam, their, you know, prestigiousness, it's more of a busha, more of an embarrassment when someone else puts it on their head when they do it themselves. And this is all to bring out the terrible, you know, matzah, the terrible situation that the kahal's in. And our mission says, Efer Makle, what's Efer Makle? That's not just referring to dust, to offer, to dirt, right? Regular Efer can mean dirt. Here we mean Davka ashes, Efer Mamash, real burnt ashes. And after they would put it on the leader, the Nasi, and the leader of the Beis Din, each individual, Nosin Barosho, would put the ashes on their own head as well. Hazakin Shibahen, and then the Zakin, meaning the older, the elder, who Gam Chacham, who's also a Talmudic scholar, Omer Lefneim Devri Chibushin. He would say, you know, to the Kahal, he would say to everybody, words of Kibushin, meaning words of rebuke, in order to return their hearts to do good, to do tshuva, to repent. The Kahu Omer, this is what he would say. Achenu, our brothers. Lo Nemer Ba'anshe Ninveh, it doesn't say by the men of Ninveh. If you recall, the men of Nineveh was a story when Yonah had gone down there to rebuke them to do tshuva. They were doing terrible sins, and they actually did repent. And what does the verse there say? It says, "Vayar Elokim es sakam ves tanisam." I'm sorry. So he's saying like this. He says, "It doesn't lo nemar." It doesn't say that Vayar Elokim es sakam ves tanisam. It doesn't say that God saw their sackcloth and their fasts. Ella, what does the pasuk say? V'yar Elokim es ma'aseihem. God saw their actions. Kishavu midark marah. That they returned from their evil ways. Meaning, the point isn't the sackcloth. Mikan she'in asak v'hatan es mo'ilim. The sackcloth and the fast won't help. Ela tshuva ma'aseihem tovim. It's not going to help if you don't repent. You could, you know, put on the sackcloth and fast, but if you don't actually repent and change your ways, it's not going to do the trick. Right? Uba Kabbalah. And this is what happened by the men of Ninveh. It says that God saw that they actually returned. They became changed men. And that's why they were spared. They became changed men. That's why they were spared. Right? So it's not enough just to plead, to pray and to fast. You also have to change. And that's what saved the men of Ninveh. And that's what the Chacham is rebuking us to do. We have to change. Enough with the fast, enough with all that kind of stuff. It was good while we had it, but now we have to actually change if we want to get rain. Ube Kabbalah, and the words of the prophets, it says, who Omer, the Pasuk says, Vikru Levavchem, says, open, it says rip open your hearts, and don't rip open your clothes. Meaning, you gotta open up your hearts now, rip it open and change your character, change your midos, do more mitzvos, and stop with the clothes, stop, you know, with fasting and tearing your clothing. Of course, you could still fast and tear your clothes, but the point is that the focus now is to actually repent and to become a changed person. If till now you were speaking lashon hara, evil talk, then stop. If till now, you know, you're doing a particular sin, then stop. That's the idea. And these were the words of rebuke that they would, that the chacham would give them, the elder would give them, so that they repent, so that the rain should come. And we'll hold it here. That's the end of Mishnah Aleph.